Good evening and welcome to our evening worship tonight. My name's Ian, I'm one of the ministers at RBC and Vicky will be bringing God's word later in this service. The psalmist says these words, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us and we are his. We are the people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is a good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues for all generations." We sing, "Let everything that has breath praise God." Let's pray together. Our Father, our amazing God, our Creator God, who made the world and all that is in it, who sustains it by power. Lord, tonight we come in awe to worship, to bow, and to praise your holy name. We thank you, Lord, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and we are yours, and we can come and worship you. Tonight, Lord, we thank you that in our worship we can bring you the thoughts of our hearts. We can bring you the things that are on our minds and we can celebrate your goodness. Lord, in this time of worship this evening, where we are in our homes or wherever we are watching this, come close to each one of us and help us to celebrate your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Ezekiel chapter 3, we read these words. "There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to uproot. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to tear down, and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time, and he has also set eternity in the heart, human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end." Our next song, "Lord of All Creation." Psalm 74, we read these words. "It was you who split open the sea by your power. You broke the heads of the monster in the waters. It was you who crushed the heads of the Leviathan and gave it as food to the creatures of the desert. It was you who opened up the springs and streams. You dried up the ever-flowing rivers. The day is yours, and yours also is the night. You established the sun and moon. It was you who set the boundaries of the earth. You who made both summer and winter." We have an amazing God. In our next song, which will be followed by a video about creation, "Indescribable."
The Creation Poem by James Weldon Johnson. And God stepped out on space. And he looked around and said, "I'm lonely. I'll make me a world." And as far as the eye of God could see, darkness covered everything. blacker than 100 midnights down in a cypress swamp. Then God smiled, and the light broke, and the darkness rolled up on one side, and the light stood shining on the other. And God said, "That's good." Then God reached out and took the light in his hands, and God rolled the light around in his hands until he made the sun. And he set that sun ablazing in the heavens, and the light that was left from making the sun, God gathered it up in a shining ball and flung it against the darkness, spangling the night with the moon and stars. Then down between the darkness and the light, he hurled the world. And God said, "That's good." Then God himself stepped down, and the sun was on his right hand, and the moon was on his left. The stars were clustered around his head, and the earth was under his feet. And God walked, and where he trod, his footsteps hollowed the valleys out and bulged the mountains up. Then he stopped and looked and saw that the earth was hot and barren. So God stepped over to the edge of the world and he spat out the seven seas. He batted his eyes and the lightnings flashed. He clapped his hands and the thunders rolled and the waters above the earth came down. The cooling waters came down. Then the green grass sprouted and the little red flowers blossomed. The pine tree pointed his finger to the sky and the oak spread out his arms. The lakes cuddled down in the hollows of the ground and the rivers ran down to the sea. And God smiled again and the rainbow appeared and curled itself around his shoulder. Then God raised his arm, and he waved his hand over the sea and over the land, and he said, "Bring forth, bring forth." And quicker than God could drop his hand, fishes and fowls, beasts and birds swam the rivers and the seas, roamed the forests and the woods, and split the air with their wings. And God said, "That's good." Then God walked around, and God looked around on all that he had made. He looked at his sun, and he looked at his moon, and he looked at his little stars, and he looked on his world with all its living things. And God said, "I'm lonely still." Then God sat down on the side of a hill where he could think by a deep, wide river. He sat down with his head in his hands, and God thought and thought, till he thought, "I'll make me a man." Up from the bed of the river, God scooped the clay, and by the bank of the river, he kneeled him down. And there the great God Almighty, who lit the sun and fixed it in the sky, who flung the stars to the most far corner of the night, who rounded the earth in the middle of his hand. This great God, like a mummy bending over her baby, kneeled down in the dust, toiling over a lump of clay, till he shaped it in his own image. Then into it he blew the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Amen.
Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray together. awesome, magnificent God. Creator God, sustaining God. Lord, we've just seen the beauty of your creation. And Lord, we just thank you because of all that you have done. And Lord, this day as we are gathered in our homes, we praise you that you are still sustaining us and caring for us. But Lord, we also recognize as we look at creation, we're conscious of how humankind has spoiled creation through carelessness, through greed, through thoughtless actions. And Lord, at this time we confess our part in this. And Lord, we pray for those who are trying to transform this world by bringing around the end of single-use plastics and all kinds of things. And Lord, we pray we will, as your people, who are stewards of your creation, take seriously the call upon us to care for your creation. Help us, Lord, to make decisions that are right for the sustaining of your world. But Lord, tonight we want to pray for those who are directly affected by waste. Lord, locally we thank you for those who go around after us and sweeping up the roads. Those who week by week come to our homes to take away our rubbish. And those who process that rubbish and bury it or burn it or recycle it. But Lord, we're conscious of the nations of this world that are most directly affected by the change in environment and the change in the temperature of this earth as pollution gets in the way and pollution spoils your creation. We pray for countries like Bangladesh, the poorest of these nations where flooding happens and people struggle to exist. Lord, we pray for the aid agencies that worked so much to making a difference to your world. We pray for groups like Tear Fund and Oxfam and BMS World Mission that work in the most deprived of areas seeking to show your love. We pray for our link missionaries, for Pete and Louise, who are there in Bangladesh working amongst the poor and the needy. Lord, we again bring your creation to you. And Lord, we pray that there will rise up, maybe even from within us, those people who are going to encourage and lead to make a difference. We pray for the scientists who are trying to find solutions. And Lord, we pray that we ourselves will get in step. Lord, we do pray for the continued issues around coronavirus. And we do continue to pray for our government and the opposition. We pray for all those who are leading in our local council and throughout this nation and throughout the world. Lord, we pray for the American election. Lord, as that takes place, recognizing that the decision will affect the whole of the world, we pray for the electorate. We pray there will be a peaceful election, and we pray, Lord, that there will be a smooth transition if needed. Lord, we pray that your will be done in that election. Father God, we bring all our thoughts and prayers in the name of our Lord and Saviour, as we hear the words of the Lord's Prayer right now. Hopefully you have received your notice sheet, and you'll see this week slightly different, but please do take some time to read it and go through it. On Tuesday will be the prayer meeting, but there will be no Wednesday midday service this week, nor RBC on Wednesday's RBC in the evening. Next Sunday we will gather at 10:30, and Rich Shorter is going to be leading the morning worship as we remember Remembrance Sunday together. Let me encourage you to be there. Maybe next week you might make a special effort just to dress to out of respect in a way that's maybe smarter than often you do for Sunday service, to remember those who gave their lives for us. And in the evening service will be online as it is today. Do pray through that notice sheet. Pray for the youth and children's activities that are happening. Pray for all who are there. And I want to just continue to thank you for the offerings. Normally at this time of year we would be holding our thank offering week, but we're not doing that this year because we know that it's been a hard year for so many people and we don't feel it's appropriate to hold a thank offering. But let me just say, if you want to give thanks to God in some way and show it through the offering, feel free to do so. You can even mark it thank offering if you want, just to show our love of God and give in that way. Thank you to those who brought their offerings into the building and those who give online through the website or direct through the banks. And if you can't find the information at the end of the service, the last screen will have all the bank information. Let's give thanks to God in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you have given us so much. And Lord, we thank you that you have given us the opportunity again to give to you and to celebrate our love for you in this act of worship of giving our resources for your use. And Lord, we pray now that you will just continue to use those gifts to reach out with the gospel. We pray this in Jesus Christ, who never left.
Good evening, and it's lovely to join with you this evening. Our reading tonight is from Genesis chapter 1, verses 14 to 19. Genesis 1, 14 to 19. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens, to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and to seasons, and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens, to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Amen. Hopefully, as we have sung our worship to God, as we have listened to the readings that Ian has been sharing and reading with us tonight, as we have focused in on God in all that we have done this evening, hopefully we have been reminded of the greatness of God. We've been reminded, as we've heard the various passages, of God's hands at work in his creation. We've been reminded of God's plan for our lives. We've been reminded of the huge variety of the things that he has created, amongst whom he has created us. As we've listened to the songs and we've sung our praises and we've had our readings and as we've done our prayers, we've been reminded again and again of God's eye for detail, of God's desire for rhythm and of order, of the reminder that never again will God destroy the living creatures as he did at the time of Noah. Again and again, as we look through our Bibles, we see God's hand at work. From that very moment when it began all those years ago, that we see right back at the beginning of Scripture, in the beginning, God. And from that first moment until now and until the time to come, whenever that will be, when we know that there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, we see God's hand at work. And I wonder, for each of us tonight, how does that make us feel? How does it make us feel in all that we are facing right now? Whether it's the experiences that we are coming across, whether it's in our tiredness or in the worries and the things we're hanging on to, whether it's in our plans for our lives or the futures we may hope to have, I wonder, as we've thought about God and all of his creation and all that he has done for us, what place in our lives are we leaving for God? And does he even have a part in our lives? Or is it just a little bit that we leave on one side, perhaps for a Sunday when we're engaging in service? Have we left any room for God? So firstly, do we know our destination? Well, for those of us who've been engaging on the character course on a Wednesday night through Wednesdays at RBC, we were set challenges week by week as we've gone through the course. And each of the challenges have been slightly different. But basically what we've needed to do is to agree with those in our small group that we meet with virtually, to set aside a specific time or a specific occasion each day when we will focus our mind on God. When we think about the week's teaching and what we are looking at for our characters going forward for the next week. For some of us, perhaps we found it easier than for others of us. Perhaps because of our way our week unfolds, perhaps because of family commitments or because we work shifts, we found it much harder to say at this point in the day, we will give that time to God. In our second week, we were challenged to think about our plans going forward, the plans for the future. We were asked to think about not just the here and now, but where we imagined we would be in 5 years or 10 years' time, and how God would be at work in us then, as opposed to how he is at work in us now. Of course, the whole idea that we are being called to through the character course is to become more like Jesus. And through week two particularly, we were challenged to see how we could allow the fruits of the Spirit to be more at work and in evidence in our lives. The fruits of the Spirit of love and joy and peace and patience, of kindness and goodness and faithfulness, of gentleness and self-control. We were challenged that if we were going to be allowed to let these fruits shine through in our actions and in our words and in all that we do day by day, it would make a difference to the way we behave to those around us, through the words that we speak. Maybe in our workplace setting, there will be more evidence of God's fruit at work in our lives. Perhaps when we're faced with difficulty, or faced by people who really do annoy us, or who hold a different point of view to us, or perhaps whose lifestyle is different to us, we were being challenged to think about how, if we were allowing those fruits of the Spirit to really burn within us and to challenge our behavior and our character, not just for the here and now, but for the days to come in 5 years or 10 years' time, how perhaps we would be relating differently then than perhaps we are now. And of course, the point of such a challenge, the point of these week-by-week studies, is to enable us to become more like Jesus, to build and develop holy habits, to develop a better sense of rhythm and a plan in our daily lives, which means that we will enable us to walk better in our walk with God. And that will hopefully equip us better for all that we may face. As I looked at those during the course of that second week, there were three of those fruits that came back day in, day out. They alternated during the course of the week, but they repeatedly came back. And I had to stop and think about what it was God was saying to me. But when we look at this passage from Genesis chapter 1, when we read the account of creation, we don't see God wondering how he's going to create order out of disorder, but we see a plan unfolding. And there's that repeated phrase, isn't there? It was evening and it was morning, and then it's the next day. God began his creation by creating light out of darkness, by forming day and by forming night. And then, as we've looked over the last couple of weeks, we've seen the way that God has unfolded that plan with first the sky and then the earth and the seas and then the vegetation, until now we see the sun, the moon and the stars. All of God's creation, as it was unfolded day after day, was being unfolded in an orderly way. Not in a haphazard way, because God had a plan. God knew there would be no point in creating vegetation before he'd created the earth. God knew that he needed to create the light and the darkness and the seas. He knew the order in which things needed to be. And okay, perhaps I am kind of limiting God into the way that we can understand it in our humanity and in our human understanding. And perhaps you're one of the people who don't agree with how the passages are explained there at the beginning of Genesis, with the way that God created the heavens and the earth and all that we live in our world today. But what I'm trying to say is, wherever you fit in what you believe and how it happened, this is true, that God had a plan and it unfolded, and we are living in this plan. And we can read that as we read our Bibles, that again and again and again, as we read the earliest books through to the prophets, through to the New Testament and beyond into the letters, we see that God had a plan. He knew what would happen along the way. So one of the things we learned about in the Bible course, it just didn't happen in a haphazard way, but because God knew the next step of what was being put in place. In Ecclesiastes 3, it said, "No one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end." No one. No, not even in when the way I'm trying to describe it. But what I'm trying to say is by understanding that God has a plan, we allow that sense of God's greatness and majesty and power to impact on our daily lives. And so I ask that question again. Do we know our destination? And what part are we allowing God to play in our plans in order to get there? Have we even left him room to come in and be part of our daily lives? Secondly, how do we find our way? In verse 14 of the passage, it says, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let there be for seasons and signs and for days and for years. We're entering that time of year when everything has become much darker. Those familiar places, you know, in the summer we can move around this building without turning lights on, but come the winter, come autumn, come the winter, come the early spring, we have to turn lights on in order to navigate our way around, because familiar objects and familiar roads and familiar surroundings look so different, don't they, when the light has gone and the shadows and the deep and the dark begin to infiltrate. When Ian and I were staying in a hotel on a trip to see David and the family out in Vienna, we stopped for a few nights or a couple of nights in Salzburg, the city or the town where so much of the Sound of Music film was captured on the film. And probably because so many people travelled to Salzburg to revisit those places and to go on the tour of the Sound of Music, the hotel had themed each of its bedrooms in a separate way. And we were a little surprised when we were shown to our room to discover that we had this full-size Mary Poppins wall art on one of the walls. Of course, as I say, this was a hotel that was appealing to the tourist trade and to the guests that were staying at the hotel. And I'm sure some of them were delighted when they walked into their room and they saw Mary Poppins as if she was dancing out of the wall. And actually, it was a little surprising, but actually it didn't really bother us until that night. And I was doing my normal of not sleeping that well, and I turned over, and it was probably the bed was a bit uncomfortable, and I turned over, and all of a sudden I'd opened my eyes and this huge figure was looming over me, and I don't know how I didn't scream, but just as a scream almost came to my lips, I suddenly realized that it wasn't a person kind of looming over me, but it was this piece of wall art that kind of seemed to be coming out of the wall and coming over and towering over me. Things look different in the dark, don't they? We may begin to be grumbling about the cold weather coming and about the dark nights creeping in earlier each day and how the mornings seem to be slower to come bright, and particularly on those days when there's been no sun and, you know, it just seems to be grey all day and just more grey at night. But actually, there is a reason for that. And here in the UK, we know that's because it's autumn. That's what happens in the UK at this time of year. It's the outworking of what we can read again and again in our Bibles. It talks about the passing of the seasons. In Ecclesiastes, it says there is the time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. Our God, our enormous, majestic, beautifully creative God has created order and harmony. But sadly, so often our lives are full of disharmony and full of disorder. And often that's because we fail to come back to the source. We fail to have developed those patterns and behaviors and habits that mean that we remain grounded in God. All too often we are heavily influenced by the world around us, by other people's expectations on what we should be doing, rather than keeping our eyes fixed on God, on what it is he is saying to us. So often we might be striving to meet our own goals and our own aims and our own destinies that we fail to allow God in We fail to give God room. We fail to allow God to show us the way. Sometimes we'll be so busy fighting our own battles, we've forgotten to turn to God and say to him, how should we be behaving and acting in this particular situation? Or when we're faced with opposition, or when people are unkind to us, or when we are attracted and tempted by the world in which we live. So often, we've turned our eyes away from God rather than towards him. Many of us can quote Psalm 119 and verse 105. It says, your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light on my path. And many of us will use that verse as a reminder of the importance of reading God's word. But we often forget the importance of the verses that follow that of verse 105. Verse 105 says, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. In the next verse it says, I have taken an oath and confirmed it, that I will follow your righteous laws. But I wonder, is that really how we're living our lives? Are we really so focused on following what we read in our Bibles that we do that rather than the things that we have in mind? That's the whole point of the character course that we've been looking at, is trying to remind ourselves of the importance of the regularity and the pattern and focusing in on giving God space in our lives to grow us and mold us and change us so that we can become more like him, so that we can find it to be easier to follow God's righteous laws. In verse 107 it says, I have suffered much. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your word. How well do we know God's word? Do we really allow it to be the lamp for our feet? If we were following it, would our lives be preserved because our focus would be more on God than on what it is that we are following ourselves? Because in verse 108 it says, accept, Lord, the willing praise of my mouth and teach me your laws. And one of the questions I have to ask myself again and again is, do I have a teachable spirit? It's all very well reading God's word. It's all very well setting aside time to study and to read our thought for the day or our Bible reflections. But if we're not allowing it to change who we are, then in one sense we're just going through the motions. We're not allowing it to change us and mold us and to make us joyful, to make us want to follow God's laws. We're doing it to tick a box rather than because we really have a desire to allow God more of our lives. Do we have a teachable spirit? Well, verse 109 says, though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. And in there, that word I features twice. I, what I want, what I will do, what I expect, what I want to achieve, what I. And perhaps tonight, or maybe in the quiet of our week, or when we next spend time with God, we need to take the I out and cross it through as we think about the cross. The cross where the I has been crossed out because of Jesus' love for us. And the need for us sometimes to say sorry because we have forgotten his law. And so often we've taken our life in our hands rather than giving our life to God. And in verse 110, it says, the wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. And I wish that was true for each one of us, for me and for you. We do so easily fall into temptation. We do so easily fall into living for others rather than living for God. Verse 111, your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. Are they? Do we look at God's word because we want to be filled with joy, because it brings us pleasure and delight? Or is it the thing that we pick up to get out of the way at the beginning of our day? Or we pick up God's word because we know that we haven't done at any other point in our day. Surely, if the words of God are the joy of our hearts, we should be dwelling in it and learning and allowing it to teach us and to enable us to become more like God. But so often, because of who we are and the way that we're made and because of the world around us, we fail to turn to God. And very lastly, verse 1:1-2. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. And as I read that, and in the preceding verses, I was reminded of Romans 7, which says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law... And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. We may want to keep on keeping God's decrees, but how well do we succeed if we're being honest with ourselves and with God? So firstly, I ask, do we know our destination? Do we allow God into our lives? And then secondly, I asked, how do we find our way? And of course, we know it's by allowing God's light to shine rather than the darkness to overwhelm. And so thirdly, as we look at this passage, it reminds us we need to look to God. As many of you know, I walk quite a lot around the Romford area and the surrounding areas. And each week, often thanks to Google Maps, if I'm going somewhere slightly different, I usually get to the right place at the right time. Occasionally, yes, I do get wrong, and Google Maps comes out and it assists me, and I might arrive a little later, although albeit at the right destination. But when we were younger and before Google Maps was so much more freely available, and our children then came along, Ian and I taught them as we ourselves taught ourselves, and were taught by the wonderful movements such as Boys Brigade or Guides in my case. We were taught how to orientate and how to steer ourselves across our beloved Dartmoor when we were using a map and a compass. Of course, the more you do it, the more experience you get, but you only need that kind of heavy rain or that heavy mist to come down, and you cannot see one hand in front of the other. And at those times, so many people now get caught out because they've been relying on Google Maps and it doesn't pick up the signal, and they end up getting lost and people have to go out to rescue them. How many, I wonder, can still use those wonderful Ordnance Survey maps and a compass to find their way around? And yet, although I could do that, I could never work out which way the sun was moving to tell me which was north or south or east or west without the use of my compass. There were some people who we used to go out onto Dartmoor with, and they would just look up at the sun and they would say, well, north is that direction, so we need to go in this direction. But unless the sun was rising or the sun was setting, I hadn't got a clue. And they would say to me, well, just look at the shadows and which way they're moving. And I would look at the shadows and I'd lose patience before I saw which way they were moving. And frankly, even when I saw which way they were moving, I still didn't understand which was north, south, east or west. I've stood at night and I've looked up at our night skies, perhaps less so in Romford where there's so much light pollution. And I have looked up at the stars and at the moon, and I have failed to see those well-known constellations such as the Plough or the Orion or the North Star. I look into the night skies and someone will point it out to me and I'll go, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then next time I do it on another occasion, I still can't see them. And yet we know that through the ages, sailors and travellers and those navigating into fresh areas and new frontiers or discovering new countries would use the sun and the moon and the stars to show them the way. They understood what it was they were looking at. But when I look up into the night sky, I don't see those constellations or the specific thing that others might draw their eyes to. I see the vastness of space. When we were singing earlier, those songs that reminded me that God has the power to tell the lightning bolt where it should go, as it said in one of the songs, or how he created the stars in the space and he hung them there and he knew each of their names. I do know that the cycle of the moon will determine whether we have a very high tide or a very low tide, or when the tide will come in or when the tide will go out. But actually, what do I see when I look up into the night sky? I see the vastness of God. I see the enormity of all that he has created. And I feel really, really insignificant. And as I think about the vastness of the night sky, and the day sky too, but perhaps it's more evident at night when the little stars are shining, and it seems to go on forever. I'm reminded that in that enormity of our night sky, which reminds me of just how great and big our God is and how small I feel, that God, in his vastness and his power and his majesty and his might, loved me enough to send his son to that cross. God loves you. God loves each of us that much, that even in the enormity of his creation, he knows us individually. He knows the number of hairs on my head. He knows the number of grains of sand, not just in a handful that we might be able to count, but across our creation, our universe. And as I look into the night sky, as I'm reminded of how mighty our God is, I have to ask myself, why, when I realize how powerful God is, do I fail to follow his will for my life? When sometimes I'm so attracted by all that there is around me, rather than pleasing the loving Heavenly Father who sent his son to that cross to die for me. The God who wants only the best. The God who so often I limit by my own understanding, because that's the only way sometimes I can understand God, and I forget that he's so much bigger and more amazing and more mighty and powerful than I could ever even begin to understand. As we look to God in a moment, we're going to have the opportunity to once again come back to him, to once again say to God, here I am, have my life. To once again say to God, I give you my hopes and my dreams. I give you my fears and my worries. I'm going to allow your love and your power and your might to come into my life and into my situation. I'm going to allow you to come in, and I'll give you my plans, and you can show me your way rather than mine. We're going to have the opportunity to again say to God, I don't want to live in the world in which I find myself. I want to live your way, God, your way for my life, your direction and the pathway that you want me to follow. And perhaps as we do that, there will be moments when we need to say to God, I'm sorry for failing to get it right. As we think about the sun, the moon and the stars, of God's hand at work in his creation, remember, he loves us individually. He knew us from that moment of our conception, and he will know us until that moment we take our last breath. And he knows us that well, and he loves us, and he wants to be part of our lives. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we do indeed just take a moment and pause before you. We ask you to forgive us when we have been so busy following our own pathways, we failed to listen to you. We're sorry that when we think about the things that occupy us and our fears and our worries and our uncertainties get in the way, that we limit you and the power that you have. We're sorry, Father God, when we fail to give you our hopes and our dreams. And we don't look to you for the way ahead, but we look to our own resolution of them. And so, Father, as we've been reminded through these words of day 4 of creation, as you put the sun and the moon and the stars to give us a pattern and a rhythm and a season and a regularity of our world, Lord, we thank you that you did indeed bring order out of chaos. That you care about each and every day and night and until the next day again. And so, Lord, as we draw our time together to a close, Father God, we pray in the coming days that we will indeed walk the pathway that you wish us to walk and recognize that each day you want to have a part to play in our lives. Amen. Our final hymn reminds us, the day thou gavest, Lord, is ending. And so in all that we do, may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us each and every day, we pray. Amen. And our service will conclude with the wonderful words from the song All Heaven Declares. Bless you and see you next time.